I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Izzy, and we need help.
Each week, we stumble through a new book, method, or concept that brings us one step closer to being our best selves.
Yes, we make fun of ourselves.
And others.
But mostly just ourselves. So here's to not taking self-help quite so seriously.
Welcome to We Need Help. I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Izzy. And this month, for the month of June, we are focusing on the topic of addiction.
Last month was sex, and now we're talking addiction.
Shun. We should just combine it all and do sex addiction.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, we should. We'll do a week on it. I think that would be fun to do. But yeah, addiction in general, lots of different addictions out there.
Yeah, we both wanted to do this because it's a huge part in both of our lives for different reasons. And yeah. I feel like it's a huge part of everyone's life.
Everyone has an addict in their family.
And if you can't think of one, it's you.
Yeah, it's probably
it
you.
It might be you.
Yeah. And then I think what's going to be interesting about this month is we're going to be exploring the people who are in relationships with addicts.
Yeah.
Because they're not necessarily the victim.
Ooh.
Which I think that's the tendency, like, poor me.
Well,
you know, but
it's much easier to be in the passenger seat of the situation when you're really wanting it not to be your fault. Like, it's just,
yeah,
you know, but yeah. It's mind boggling when you decide that you are actually in control of yourself.
Yeah. And what Candace Tranter, she's somebody we work with very closely and we love her. And she works a lot with energy. And she always said, what is it about me that has attracted this into my life?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a good question that, you know, people in relationships with addicts should ask. But, you know, it's a big topic and I'm super excited. We have some great guests this month.
You kind of schooled me yesterday. Like you said,
oh, I did.
Yeah, I said, you know,
what kind of people do addicts target?
And you're like, no, it's not a narcissism or a narcissist situation. You're like, if anything, the codependent, which is the cohort of the addict, actually targets the addict, which I thought was so interesting because, you know, once I started thinking of it, it really did make sense after saying that. And we'll explore codependency pretty deeply, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. We will. So how, obviously everybody knows how addiction's affected my life. And I think you've mentioned
it. Well, explain it for new listeners, though. Explain.
Yeah. So I'm in recovery. Yeah. I was addicted to everything under the sun. So, and I still lapse into I have to be very careful. I cannot do anything in moderation. And so recently, this last month, I lapsed into workaholism.
Yeah.
Like I was saying yes to all these projects and it was almost like a high.
Yeah.
Like I would wake up in the morning and that was it. And that's how I used to be when I was a drug addict. Like I'd wake up in the morning and the whole day was spent in the pursuit of getting high. And then recently it's been in the pursuit of working. So it's really interesting how that tendency is strong with me. Like that addict is in me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're so interesting because first you were the first thing that you admitted to being addicted to was heroin, right?
Yeah. Well, it was sort of people say weed is a gateway drug, but I think alcohol is the true gateway drug for me because it started with alcohol when I was 15 or 16. Mm. And I remember that first drink. And I don't know if normal people remember their first drink as vividly as alcoholics do.
Mm.
Do you remember your first drink?
Yeah, I was 4 years old and I took a little pinch off of peppermint schnapps right out of the refrigerator, at my mom's boyfriend Earl's house. And I remember it sucked bad.
Oh, see, I remember it very differently. So I vividly remember drinking and then it felt like the solution to everything. Cause I was a very self-aware, awkward, full of fear child. Like I was one of these children who when I was sitting in the classroom and I had to pee, I could not raise my hand and ask to go to the bathroom because I knew that all the kids were going to know that I had to pee and that was too much for me to bear. And I had this constant pressure on myself and I didn't have the tools to relieve it. And then when alcohol came around, it like completely relieved that fear and pressure. Like it was like
you didn't give a fuck if everybody knew you had to pee.
I would pee in front of people. At parties. I'm like, hey, who wants to see me
this
pee?
This is cool. Watch what I can do.
I'm going to pee. So that it was the solution for me. And I remember the way I felt after taking a drink was like my soul calmed down.
Yeah.
My soul was like a washing machine. Like it was constantly anxious, and that calmed the anxiety down. And that would have been fantastic if all it took was a drink, because then I would have just had a drink and I would have been fine. But with alcoholics, there's something called the phenomenon of craving.
Yeah.
So once you take that first drink, you take another and another and another and another. And it's very hard to stop. So it's like I took a drink and then the drink took me.
Oh.
They say that a lot. And that's what happens. Like I recall being very drunk at a bar and somebody would slide a shot over and I literally could not say no. I would like, it was almost like I was on automatic pilot.
Ooh.
So it's interesting because if all it was about was relieving that tension, then all it would take was one or two drinks.
Yeah.
But alcoholics also have what is called a physical allergy to alcohol, which makes them want to drink more and more and more once the alcohol is already in their body. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Once I start drinking, I definitely drink until I get a buzz, but I can't stand being drunk at all. It's like I cannot stand it. So it's like, I think that I might have, can you have light alcoholism? Cause it's part of my family big time.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. You might just be a heavy drinker, which is that there's a difference between that too.
Okay.
So there's heavy drinkers and there's alcoholics and there's people who just like drinking, but they're not alcoholics.
I don't understand why people would, if you're going to have a drink, you might as well get a buzz. But if you're not going to have a buzz, then you might as well have an iced tea, which tastes better.
Yeah.
You know, or a lemon water or, you know, like just go. So I think it's, I've watched alcoholism and like there is, it's clear. It's like, I can spot an alcoholic from a mile away because I've just been lucky enough to be raised with an alcoholic. My mom's in recovery. And I've just watched their tendencies so closely that like,
yeah.
I mean, like a sure thing I can call an alcoholic like from 50 paces, they cannot leave any alcohol in their glass at a restaurant.
Yeah. That is like sacrilegious. Like that's sort of like our code.
That is like a sure thing. So if you have that, you might be an alcoholic.
They rarely refuse alcohol. They are very happy when somebody says, who wants to do shots?
Yeah.
They're like extremely over enjoy. You know, of course, these are generalizations because habits of alcoholics do vary.
Yes.
But in general,
yeah,
you know, we're talking in general. Yeah. So,
When like I took alcohol classes, I've been to Al-Anon, the whole nine, but they say that like a good idea, if like a good way of knowing that you might be an alcoholic is if your life starts to crumble from it.
Maybe there's two ways that I've been taught, to know if you're an alcoholic, if you really want to stop, but cannot, or the second way is when you drink, if you usually just drink too much every single time.
Yeah.
If you have a hard time controlling the amounts.
Okay.
So really wanting to stop but cannot, and hard time controlling the amounts.
Okay. And drinking in the morning. Alone.
Yeah, probably.
I think if you drink alone, there's an issue.
Maybe.
Maybe. Why would you do that? I just don't, it doesn't.
Well, some people, my dad, for example, like, he's not an alcoholic. He would sit down with a book and cognac, and he would read his book and just sip his cognac, and he just enjoyed that. And he liked being alone, just relaxed, you know? So some people might enjoy that.
It seems like weird to me, because it's like such a, it's a spirit drink. Like, it just makes you happier, and like you to like, and kind of,
it doesn't make everybody happier. Some people drink it
to calm down.
Like, it calms people down. It's like a nice end of day, curl up on the couch, put on a movie and chill, you know? So, and, but some people are more social yeah. drinkers. So I just think it depends on the personality.
I don't think I tried drinking alone once, and I wanted to take a hot bath and with a glass of red wine. I got about half that red wine in me and nearly passed out because of the heat. That was it. Like, I've never drank alone after that.
Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so funny. Yeah. There's a difference, an interesting difference between heavy drinkers and alcoholics. For those of you out there who might think, am I a heavy drinker or an alcoholic? For heavy drinkers, alcohol is the problem. For alcoholics, alcohol is the solution.
Ooh.
So heavy drinkers put aside the alcohol, problem solved. All good.
Yeah.
Alcoholics put aside the solution. They have no other solution for that tension that I was talking about. And sometimes they get much worse.
Yeah.
Much worse. And that's, so I know.
That's a dry drunk.
Of alcohol. That is a dry drunk. And so alcohol is their solution. Therefore, they need a new solution in its place. Usually therapy, AA, some kind of solution. Yeah. They need something in the place of the alcohol, because that is, you're taking their solution away.
Oh. And that's, you know, hell.
That's hell. I know so many people who are, that they got much worse. It is literal hell to be in a place where you get zero relief, because alcohol provides some kind of relief. Even though the consequences are bad, you get the relief. If you take away the relief, the person is in constant emotional pain.
And that's, I've witnessed it. It's pretty awful. Can you just never start drinking but still be an alcoholic?
That is a really interesting question, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I think
the reason I'm asking is because I know some people that my mom is in recovery, but there was a good amount of time where, like, her drinking would destroy family events. It would, like, it was very tough on a lot of us. But I know people who have never drank that they don't mind just destroying an event.
They might just be assholes.
But like, they're just like, it's tumultuous. It's like when you know, and I'm like,
they might just be narcissists or assholes. And the question is, if they started drinking, would it slightly improve? Right?
Right.
So alcohol for alcoholics very often provides relief.
Okay.
So would a drink provide relief? You know,
yeah.
That is the question.
So you for know, all those it, people, you're like, she needs to have a drink. And then
she needs, yeah, yeah, yeah. I, you know, to tell you the truth, like, sometimes you almost would rather be around somebody who's drinking than a dry drunk, because a dry drunk is so angry. They have zero relief and there's so much tension.
Yeah.
That it's just, it's insane. So it's almost like, I'd rather have somebody just drink and pass out than be angry all the time.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's interesting. And
I feel like, you know, this is such a crazy subject, because there's, for me, I grew up with an alcoholic. My mom was the best mother, and also she would disappear. So it was like, you know, I've watched alcoholism do a number on a lot of people. And then this whole life of mine, I've always hung, I would much rather walk with the broken than walk with the righteous. Much rather. So I've watched this disease kind of wreak havoc on the people I love. And it's like, you know, it's such a complex thing, because addiction really strikes some magnificent people.
Yeah.
It's
because sensitive artists, empaths, it's all about this. Like, I always thought I was a very sensitive, very sensitive child.
Right.
You know, to the point where I could not stand that sensitivity. It was, you know, quote unquote, oversensitive. I needed something.
Yeah.
I needed something to numb that extreme self-consciousness.
Yeah. My mom says, like, she's like super sensitive to being in any discomfort at all.
Yeah.
You know, and like my whole family is, I feel like that way. We're very sensitive people. But like, yeah. I think that's why Jesus walked with the broken, because they were so much more interesting. They were so, like, I would much rather like know the stories of somebody that has really lived a life and has depth from that life. And I like, so it really strikes the most brilliant people we have, I think.
That's interesting that you say that about Jesus, because I was reading, I think, a book or an article about it, saying that also the reason Jesus liked walking with those people is because they were more open to change than the kings.
Yeah, the righteous.
Right. They didn't have that ego. Like the righteousness, the people weren't willing to change. And the people who are on rock bottom,
yeah,
they're willing to do something to change their lives.
Yeah. But he was throwing some mixed signals with making that wine.
We got to all blame our alcoholism on Jesus. If it wasn't for that wine.
That's why you're like, every time you come home and that person's drunk, you're like, Jesus Christ.
So he's like, sorry.
He's like, oh, my bad.
I didn't mean it.
Oh, God.
I didn't know.
I'm really excited to do this subject over the course. It's going to be interesting for me because, like, I am a child of addiction. And, you know, my mom's just been in recovery for a year now. And so we've really, like, it's been a big year for her. And it's been a big year for our family because we're learning to like not walk on eggshells. We're learning to, you know, have any kind of prediction of what our existence is in it because, you know, it's just new.
Well, what's interesting is, and I think this is what people who are in any kind of relationship with addicts must learn or must. That's a strong word. Should.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or it is suggested. Stop focusing on the alcoholic and start focusing on yourself.
That's what I've...
Because that's the whole thing. Can't walk on eggshells. Like, leave it. Leave the alcoholic to do their thing. You focus on you.
Yeah.
And that is so hard to do because the whole life has been focused on taking care of the alcoholic. And that's been the epicenter of the sick family structure. Yeah. So it's like, now it's like everybody's just going to start taking care of themselves. And that's hard to do.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's like when somebody's had cancer for a really long time and you've been like stepping and fetching and like all just terrified that that person's going to die. And then all of a sudden they're in remission and you've let your whole life go, you know, not saying that I have done that, but I mean, there have been many times when anybody else did what she did. And I would like, no way. But because you love somebody or because you're, you know, kind of programmed that way, you know, I haven't, you know, done what was right for myself. So it's just been a really cool year of doing what's right for my family.
Yeah. What's also interesting is very often when the alcoholic starts getting better, the people around don't know how to handle it because they've been in care. Oh, sorry. They've been in care. They've been in care mode of the alcoholic. So they lose their purpose.
Yeah.
So very often I hear like, I got sober and we got a divorce because the other side was no longer like, who am I if I'm not the person, the victim who is taking care of this alcoholic?
Yeah.
You know,
somebody.
So that's also interesting. We're going to explore that as well.
Yeah. Somebody said, you know, the vicious part of codependency is you try to control everything and fail, or you are not in control of anything and you're a victim. So your options as a codependent always are being a victim or a failure.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of, that should be easy to let go, but it's not.
No.
Because you're addicted really to being a victim or a failure.
Yeah. And I'm super excited for our guest next week. She's check out her Instagram before we have her on. Her Instagram handle is I Did Not Kill My Husband.
I love it.
And she has a really amazing story and it's all about that. So she's gonna share with us next week. So I'm super excited to have her on.
I am too. I'm really excited. I'm just thank yeah. you for doing this subject. I think it's like you're a wealth of knowledge. And yeah. I've wanted to talk about this for so long with you because it is a huge part of your life. And
yeah,
like, just thank you for doing it with us. I appreciate
yeah, it. Yeah, I'm excited. Like, it is a huge part of my life. And I talk about it here and there, but yeah, it's just, it's recovery is, it has to be the first thing in my life. Otherwise, everything, if I'm drunk, nothing else is going to work. And I think my mentor always says, like, don't let the life recovery gave you get in the way of your recovery life. And that is always like, I always remember that. Like, I have this life thanks to my recovery. Mm-hmm. So that has to go first.
Yeah. Well, we will be exploring that life. And yeah, I'm really excited to do it. And I love you.
I am too. I love you too.
And we will see you next Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Thanks for joining us this week on We Need Help, the podcast, the duct tape of self-help.
Please visit our website, weneedhelpthepodcast.com, where you can find links to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, and all the others, so you'll never miss a show.
You'll also find links to the books we've reviewed and our amazing store.
If you enjoy this podcast, go right now, because if you're anything like us, you'll never do it later. Like and share our page and episodes on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or just tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too.
Also, feel free to let us know what you need help with, and we'll try to cover it in a future episode. You can also find us on Instagram at weneedhelp_thepodcast.
Thank you for listening.